Very good morning to all of you. It's good that we could study the Word every Sunday at this hour. Now, if you have your Bible, please open it to the passage we just read, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Four high school boys were late for school one morning. They entered the classroom being very energetic. The teacher, they explained that they were late because they had a flat tire on the way to school. Now the teacher looked very sympathetic, and they, you know, were happy to see that, right? And the teacher smiled and told them it was just too bad that they had missed an important test that morning. But she was willing to give them a second chance to let them make it up. So the teacher told them to sit at the four corners, each one at the four corners of the classroom, and she handed them a test paper and a piece of paper and a pencil. And they, you know, got everything. They sat down and the teacher said, "Well, if you can answer the following question correctly, you will pass. Just one question. And the question is, which tire was flat?" Now we all understand the teacher's meaning. And if the students were really late because of a flat tire, they'd be able to give a correct answer, right? Which tire was flat? But if they were late for another reason, they might give different answers. The teacher would have four different answers. A New York Times article shows that 91% of people regularly don't tell the truth. 20% admit they can't get through the day without conscious, premeditated white lies. Bill Hybels, the famous pastor of Willow Creek Church outside Chicago, puts it like this. And let's face it, at one time or another, everyone is tempted to fudge a little. And none of us is totally honest all the time. But we occasionally exaggerate. And we tend to break our commitments from time to time. And we can trace this kind of misbehavior all the way back to the opening scenes of the Bible, when Adam fudged a little by blaming Eve for the way they had disobeyed God's commands. And Adam failed to own up to his responsibility. And he fudged and he blamed his dear wife. Now, ever since the earliest days in human history, the world has been fudging here, there, and everywhere. A little here, a little there. And sadly, we are still doing it today. Now, this morning's lesson in the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. It teaches us that the principle of the Word of God is honesty. God always speaks the truth to us. God's word is always trustworthy. He is always truthful. And Jesus says in verse 33, please follow along in your Bible. He says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord." We don't find this particular verse in the Old Testament. As you look, you don't find the verbatim, the exact wording of this verse. But this verse, said by Jesus Christ, is an accurate summary of the law of Moses regarding making oaths. When we make an oath, Jesus says, we must keep our word, right? And Jesus goes on to say in verses 34 to 36, "But I tell you, Do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. At first glance, when we listen to this, it seems that Jesus is opposed to making vows. But actually, he's not. The Bible tells us that God himself makes vows. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And Jesus himself testified under oath during his trial by the high priest. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 and 64 said, the high priest said to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus replied, yes, it is as you say. So I don't think Jesus' objection is to making oaths. Rather, his objection is to the deceit of people. He is concerned about truthfulness. And Jesus Christ knows that the Pharisees have twisted things so easily that oaths have become an occasion for them to tell lies, have become a chance for them to be deceptive. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their deceitfulness in Matthew chapter 23, verse 16 to 22. Kevin, could you flick it on the screen, please? If you have your Bible, you can turn to that passage too. Matthew 23, verses 16 to 22. Here Jesus Christ rebukes the Pharisees. Woe to you, blind God! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind man, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? And therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it, by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Now, why did Jesus rebuke the Pharisees in this manner? Why did he rebuke them? Well, you see, the Pharisees were teaching that some oaths were more binding than others, and that some oaths were not binding at all. Now, for example, a swearing an oath by the altar is not binding, but swearing an oath by the gift on the altar is binding. In other words, if you take a particular oath, it's all right to tell a lie, because that oath is not binding. But if you make another oath, you have to speak the truth, because it is binding. In Jesus' days, the system of using oaths was so corrupt that Jesus simply told his disciples not to follow the examples of the Pharisees, not to use the making oath system at all. He tells the disciples, and he tells us today, a better way. In verse 37, he says, simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Therefore, when we can do this, when we can let our yes be yes, no, no, there is no real reason, there is not really any need for oaths or vows at all. And Jesus says, you know, just say yes and no. And when we manipulate words to get our own way, we go wrong. Jesus' point here is actually very profound, very deep. God doesn't acknowledge the separate categories of sacred and secular. There is no such thing when it comes to swearing oath, when it comes to telling the truth. All truth is God's truth, just as all creation is God's creation. So every lie is a lie, not just against the person, but ultimately against God. And every false promise, in some way, is honest God's name. No, lying cannot be divided into neat, watertight compartments. This is sacred, that is not sacred. This is okay, and that is not okay. And we cannot use one kind of language in the church, and when we leave the church, use a different kind of language. At work, in school, and even at home. And there cannot be one kind of ethics in the church. And then when we go to work, go to school, and when we meet our friends, there is a different set of system. This is not to be. And this should not be. I doubt if anyone in our midst, including myself, can honestly say, I never told a lie. If you never told a lie, please raise your hand at this point. I'd like to get to know you and learn from you. Now, Jesus knows that one time or another, you tell him. And so the most important response to Jesus' lesson this morning is you turn to Jesus first and be truthful to him and tell him, Lord, I tell lies sometimes. And please forgive me. Or maybe you are a very good liar. You've never been caught before. Or maybe you are a lousy liar. You know, the moment you open your mouth, people know that you are not honest. And whatever the case, we need to confess our sin of lying and experience the forgiveness only Jesus Christ can give to us. Jesus Christ desires to help us get back on the right path toward our relationship with God and with one another. He wants us to be people who speak nothing but the truth. Elsewhere in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to each other. This is within a Christian community. And if a Christian friend asks how things are going in our spiritual life, in our marriage, in our schoolwork, in our quiet time, in our relationship, etc., etc., most of the time, we just need to tell the truth. However, you and I know that, including myself, that is not always the case, right? If you ask me this morning, I might have said, fine. But actually, deep inside, I may not be fine. And when I ask you this morning, how are you? And you say, oh, all right. But deep inside, you know that you are not really all right. But here, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not lie to each other. It's not just about, you know, a particular event, a particular thing we do, a particular incident we are involved in. It's about everyday life. When we meet one another, when we greet each other, how are you? Especially, you know, amongst good friends, friends in whom you can confide, you can trust. Let's be open about it. You know, 2 weeks ago, my family and I took a short break, and we went to Seattle to rejoin my former church members, the Chinese Baptist Church members, at a camp. During our conversation We were very happy to see them, and they were happy to see us too. We had a wonderful time. And when we were talking with one another, one of them asked me, "How are you, Pastor Lam?" They call me Pastor Lam Bandy. I'm Pastor Lam. And I told him, "I have a lot of burdens. I have a lot of things that I need to deal with at church and in my own life." And they heard it, their eyes were wide open. So they said, "You are a pastor. How can you have burdens? How can you have troubles?" And I do. And during the past 2 years of discipleship training class, every Wednesday evening when we got together, we shared our devotional, right? Auntie Linnea and Uncle Charles, Timo, you can, you know. And I shared openly some of the struggles that I have. But because I trust you guys can pray for me, right? And so, the Bible says, do not lie to one another. Not just about a particular incident, but about everyday life. We must not pretend things are okay when they are not. And this morning, when I talked to Angela a bit, I really appreciated the fact that she told me, well, she is a bit busy and, right? And the voice is not doing that greatly. And so I appreciate it. And we can pray for her later. It's bad to cover up our weaknesses, our struggles, and our failures. But on the other hand, it is good to tell the truth about who we really are so others can pray for us, especially amongst people whom we can trust. They can pray for us, they can encourage us, and they can help us overcome whatever we are facing at the time. And there are many ways that can help us stay honest before God and before one another. And one such way is to get together with a small group of Christians and voluntarily be accountable to that group of brothers and sisters. Charles Swindoll, a famous Christian writer and a pastor, meets with three or four other men, and every time they meet, each one has to answer the following five questions. Now they would begin like this. Since we met, or last met, question one. And you can remember this or write it down. Have you read your Bible and pray each day? Question two. Have you obtained money in any way that was inappropriate? And question three. Have you been in any situation with another woman that you didn't want your wife to know about? Or if it's a woman, then you can change the question, right? Another man that you didn't want your husband to know about, right? And then the fourth question, have you looked at any pornography? Now, after each of these four questions have been answered, then comes question number five. Have you lied to us in your answers to any of the first four questions? You know, we can stay honest. We can help each other to be accountable to one another and ultimately to God. So, you know, next time when you meet in your Bible study group or in your fellowship group or when you get together with some Christians, if they ask you, "Hey, how are you doing in your devotional campaign?" Auntie Winnie is very interested in knowing that, right? Yeah, because she's the one who puts the statistics, the stats on the chart at the back. So let us be honest about it. I haven't been reading the Bible. I haven't been praying. You know, share what your struggles are and how the group can help you overcome those struggles. I really hope that here we can learn to be truthful to God and to be honest with one another. Now, why is integrity so important? or because it affects our relationship with God. God is holy, and He calls us to be holy. And He desires from us all truth in the innermost being. And Psalm 51 says, God desires from us all truth in the innermost being. And the book of Proverbs says, amongst all the things that God hates, He especially hates a lying tongue. And indeed, the destiny of a liar is clearly mentioned in the book of Revelation. The destiny is the lake of fire. And so if we are really concerned, or if we care about our eternal destiny, let us speak nothing but the truth, because it impacts our relationship with God. Why is integrity so important? Because it also impacts our relationship with one another. Let's face it, in real life, will you allow yourself to be influenced by those who lack moral authority? You tend not to. You don't want to. Inconsistency between what is said and what is done inflicts a mortal wound on a person, on a person's influence on others. Moral authority is a fragile thing. It takes time to earn it. It takes time to build it up. But it can be lost in a moment, very quickly. And once it is lost, it is almost impossible to restore. How do we grow in integrity? I suggest to you 3 steps. The first is, we acknowledge the struggle to integrate words and actions. It's not easy. Sometimes we say one thing and do the other. It's not easy. There is always that kind of struggle. I think about how easy it is to make statements that are simply not true. We tend to say these things, the following things, very, very easily. 1, I promise. Right? 2, I'll pay you back tomorrow. 3, I'll call you back. 4, the check is in the mail already. 5, I'll be praying for you. 6, trust me. Don't you trust me? I think about how people feel when someone says the above to them. And think about how you feel when someone says the above to you, but never does anything, never keeps his word. I pray for you that the person never remembers to pray for you. I pay you back, but the person never pays you back. Oh, by the way, once I borrowed Looney from Andrew. Andrew, where are you? Did I pay you back? Yeah, I asked Andrew to pay you back, right? I hope I do. If not, then you don't come to me, I'll pay you back, alright? You know, just acknowledge that sometimes there is that struggle. Struggle to integrate words with actions. You know, when we fail to do that, when we made a mistake, step 2, that is, admit wrongdoing and quickly ask for forgiveness. We'll ask God to show us where we have fallen, where we have stumbled, where we have begun to tell lies without realizing it, or even intentionally knowing and still we go ahead. Well, Corrie Ten Boom, in her autobiography, The Hiding Place, says, the blood of Jesus never cleansed an excuse. Now, what that means is, you know, when we make a mistake and try to wriggle our way out of it and try to, you know, cover it up, God is not going to forgive us for that. But we should confess our sin to God. We should, you know, talk to the people whom we have wronged, we have hurt, we have disappointed or broken our promises. we ask them for forgiveness too. God is a promise keeper. He never lies. We can always have confidence in Him. We can always trust Him that He will keep His promise to forgive us, to cleanse us from all sins. And He will help us to speak nothing but the truth. And then, the third step, that is, we commit ourselves to truth-telling. Someone once said, reliability builds credibility. And the test of character comes when being truthful endangers what you want. Now, what does that mean? That means is, let's look at what King David says in Psalm 15. King David says this. He can explain it better this way. He says, Lord, who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts? And that is, how we can be truthful in all circumstances. God's concern is what we become, is that we become habitual truth tellers, whatever the cost. It will not be at all easy. It will not be at the expense of our integrity nor the honor Jesus gives to us when we meet Him. And God wants us to be truth tellers, whatever the cost, even when it means we may suffer. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are His representatives on this earth and in this community. People will judge God by the way we treat one another, by the way we deal with other people. We must be people of integrity when we are dealing with one another. Jesus should be the most influential force in our lives as to how we should conduct our everyday lives. And when we say we are going to do something, it should be as good as gold. In the old days, and maybe still today, when you promise to do something, people will say what? Let's shake on it, right? That handshake is as good as gold. Let us do that today. Consider the following true story. When something happened. Dave and Tom live in the same town. Dave attends church every Sunday. Tom has not been in church for more than 30 years. Dave reads the Bible every day. Tom doesn't even have a Bible. And Dave usually listens to the local Christian station. And Tom doesn't even know how to sing a song, a hymn. And Dave picked up some material at the local hardware store one day and told the owner he would pay for it within a month. And Tom happened to be the local hardware store owner. A 3 months had passed, and the bill still had not been paid. Dave invited Tom to church on Sunday. You know the response. Tom stayed home and watched TV. How tragic. We should be people who say, who mean what we say, and who say what we mean. Brothers and sisters, the world around us, we think that everyone should be given some latitude, some leeway, when it comes to speaking the truth. And people we know, they think that, oh well, it's alright, it's no big deal. When someone lies about their sexual immorality, their sexual infidelity, it's alright, when we cheat a little in exams. It's alright, when we cheat a little on our income taxes. Many years ago, I don't know if it's still true today, I hope not. Many Canadians, would cross the border and go shopping at Bellingham or even, the factory outlet stores, right? At Exit 200, you guys know about that, right? And when they come back, what do? Many of them want to avoid paying tax, right? So they would right away change their clothes, right? Just when they are getting close to the border, to the checkpoint, they would change their clothes, they would, change their shoes, put everything they bought in the U.S. on their body, right? Just to show the customs officer that, hey, you know, I've been wearing this. When I was going to the States, I've been wearing this. Some people would do that, right? You heard about that. So when we are coming back from the United States after shopping, what would you say to the customs officer? What have you got? What are you bringing back? What would you say? Now some people think, oh, that's okay, it's no big deal, right? But Jesus has another standard for us. As Christians, our yes should always mean yes. And our no should always mean no. God wants us to be truthful to Him and to one another. Now let's make every word we speak a truthful and unqualified word. Now may our words be as good as our signature. When you sign on a piece of document, that piece of document is your responsibility. So may the Lord help us to say what we mean and mean what we say, whatever the cost. May the Lord give us and help us nurture that deep commitment to honesty today and forevermore. May the words that come out from our mouth be nothing but the truth. May God have mercy on us and help us live in a truthful and honest community of believers. Let us pray. Before I lead you in prayer, when you have a moment of silence before the Lord, and you ask the Lord to illumine you, to shine on you, to reveal to you if you have caused any hurt, any disappointment to people around you, because you have been consistently breaking your word. If you ask God to reveal to you the areas of your life where you have consciously or subconsciously begun to tell lies and try to rationalize, you ask God to humble you and to forgive you and to help you turn over a new leaf and begin anew in honesty and truthfulness. And you don't have to. So spend some time. Don't rush. Dear God, we are laid bare before you. We can hide nothing from you. You see us through and through. Lord, as all of us are quiet before you, asking you to examine our lives, Lord, if there is really anything untruthful, anything dishonest, Lord, may you forgive us. You have spoken through your word today. And help us be truthful, be honest toward you and toward one another. Lord, may this
body of believers, be a truthful and honest community in your sight. May you help us do the same, even when we leave the church, when we go through our lives during the week, at school, at work, or wherever we need. Because you are holy. Because you are truthful. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, if God puts a person on your heart just now, if God spoke to you about an incident just now, and you remember, you may have forgotten it, but you remember, I encourage you, pay heed to God's prompting. Pay heed to God's, remind them. Talk to the person and ask the person for forgiveness. If you have hurt the person, if you have broken your word, your promise, and hurt the person, help yourself so that you can restore that relationship. And you can have a good relationship with your family member, your friend, your co-worker, or whoever he may be or she may be. Okay? Follow through. Act on it throughout this week. Don't delay. Otherwise, you do the same thing again. And you forget it. Alright? And that problem will still be there. So God has spoken, and so act on it. Alright? Okay, Angie.